Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Thank you for joining Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. We welcome all of you joining us by television and those of you joining us at airjesus.com. Stay tuned to today's message. We're doing part two of something we started last week entitled Developing a Spirit of Humility. And before we look at some scriptures, our text, let's just, I wanted to read a little humor to you that I came across this week. I thought was pretty good. And it's actually a joke about old age. An older gentleman said, he says, "I've sure gotten old. I've had 2 bypass surgeries, a hip replacement, new knees, fought prostate cancer and diabetes. I'm half blind, can't hear anything quieter than a jet engine, take 40 different medications that make me dizzy, winded, and subject to blackouts, have bouts with dementia, have poor circulation, hardly feel my hands and feet anymore, can't remember if I'm 82 or 90 or 95, have lost all my friends, but thank God I still have my Florida driver's license." Open your Bible, if you will, to a couple of texts that we looked at last time, which is the book of James, the book of James, chapter 4, and we also looked at 1 Peter, the book of James, chapter 4, there in the New Testament, and then right behind the book of James, 1 Peter, so you can put your finger in 1 Peter, and also in the book of James. Let's start with James chapter 4, James chapter 4, and we'll read verses 6, James chapter 4, we'll read verses 6 and 10. When you get there, say amen. Let's read verse 6, James chapter 4, verse 6. "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." And also flip over to 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 in verses 5 and 6. Let's read those together in unison. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Praise God. So we're talking about developing a spirit of humility, part two, developing a spirit of humility. I honestly believe that God wants to use us to do some great things, but we have to have a spirit of humility before God can trust us, before he can use us, before he can grace us to do what he would have us to do. I like something that an unknown author said, and I thought it was good. He says, until a man is humble, no good thing can come from him, no matter what he may do. The Lord can do such great things for us if we are humble, and he can do so little for us when we are proud. How true that is. God really wants to use us. He wants to use us, but he requires a spirit of humility before he can grace us and empower us so that he can be glorified through us and through our lives. Because if we're not humble, we'll tend to get the big head and we'll think we did it. We'll think we deserve all of the credit and all of the honor, and we'll think it's us. Isn't it amazing how, you know, when we really need God to come through for us, and sometimes we pray and pray, and then when God does it, we forget all about God, and we can turn around and look and say, look what I did, you know, look how great I am. And so often that is the temptation that we all fall to and we all succumb to, dealing with different endeavors in life. And so this spirit of humility is something that we have to consciously keep in the forefront of our minds. I like something here I read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 in the Amplified Bible. It said, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Let him be your example in humility. So God really, he really wants to use us. He wants to do things for us. And we just have to make sure that we're mindful to have this spirit of humility and to walk in humility and to honor God, give God the glory and give him the credit for what he does through us. I recall not too long ago, I was actually out of town, and I was competing in a basketball tournament. I happened to just be walking by my family. We were going to this restaurant, and outside the restaurant, they were having a basketball competition, a three-point shooting competition. And me being the great athlete that I am, I just couldn't resist entering it. And so I told my family what I was doing, and you know, I said, you know, I have to compete in this. I have to. I can't go back. So of course, I paid my money and registered, and I got in the competition. And it was about 25 gentlemen in this competition, ranging from all ages, from, you know, 16, 18, 20s, all the way up. And so I was playing against a whole variety of men. And so when it was my turn to compete, I had been in the background praying silently. And, you know, just under my breath, I was like, Lord God. You know, because it was actually a lot of people. It was actually a lot of people out to watch this competition. I would say it was at least 50 people gathered around to see us compete. And so I was just praying under my breath. You know, I was like, Lord God, I certainly need your favor. Lord, I need your help. I was like, Lord, let me win this thing. You know, I really prayed. And so I got in the competition. Long story short, I did win it. I beat every man there, and they announced the winner. And oddly enough, somehow I forgot that I had prayed. I forgot, you know, at that point, after I had received my first place prize and they called me out in front of these 50 people, people applauded, they were cheering, whistling. I mean, people were just, the fans just went, you know, ecstatic. They were just going, wow. And I had forgotten that I had asked God to let me win, to empower me, to give me his favor. And I saw how fast that we can be, you know, we need God to do something and God to come through, and we can forget him so fast. And we begin to think, and so, you know, when those people started cheering and applauding, I began to think it was my shooting ability. It was my three-point aim. It was my finesse on the court. It was all the things that I had talked to. You know, I began to think it was me. And then, you know, I realized later as I walked away with my prize, I said, my God, you know, I actually prayed for this. And I was reminded how soon and how quickly we forget when God comes through for us, and we are so quick to take His credit and His glory. So that's what God wants to do. He wants to use us, but when He uses you, He doesn't want you to forget who did it. He doesn't want you to think you did it. He wants you to realize that He is our source. He's our supply. He deserves all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Look at Jesus. That's how Jesus lived. And that's why Philippians 2:5, it said, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus, let it be in you. Let Him be your example of humility. And so when Jesus lived, Jesus always, He gave God all the credit. Jesus said, I can't say anything to you all unless my Heavenly Father gives me what to say to you. Jesus said, it's He that's doing the works. He's the one that's doing the works. And so Jesus was trying to, He tried to get people to God by saying, hey, don't you recognize this is God? It's Him doing the works. You should recognize it's God. He's doing the works. Look at the works. It's God. Jesus always pointed to God. Jesus was always pointing to God. He always gave God the credit. He always gave God the credit. And so He gives us an example of humility, of allowing God to work through our lives and to give God the praise and to give God the glory. We define humility as lowering oneself, total absence of arrogance, pride, conceit, haughtiness, self-exaltation, and it's a modest estimate of one's own worth. That's what humility is. There's something interesting about even the devil and humility. Let's flip back over to our text, James chapter 4. James chapter 4, flip back to verse 7. You see something interesting here concerning the devil and humility in our lives. Look at James chapter 4, verse 7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, and I submit to you that submission is a great part of humility. Submission, humility is submitting to God. And that's why it goes on, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. So humility is submitting ourselves to God, to the will of God, so that we can follow His instructions, we can follow His orders. You know, you have to be humble even to repent. It takes humility to admit you've done wrong and to come back. So it takes humility to submit to God. And so notice what He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, I had known that verse all my life, but I'd never thought of that in terms of humility coming out of, as He was teaching on humility there, He goes in and says, now, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I had never thought about this, but listen to this. I read this quote by somebody in one of my commentaries, but he said this. He says, the best defense that anyone can have against the wiles of the devil is a humble heart. Nothing sets a person so much out of Satan's reach as humility. Humility is a great protection against falling headlong into Satan's trap. Because it's hard to fall down when you are already prostrate before God. So I had never thought of that humility, it gives us protection against the devil. He can't touch you when you're walking in humility. There's nothing he can really do. When you're submitted to God, when you're following God's instructions, you're following God's orders, you're submitted to him. There's nothing the devil can do with a man who's walking, totally submitted, and walking in the spirit of humility. There's nothing he can do. Humility is so powerful. We find that humility brings us to great honor. Humility brings us to exceptional honor in life. In fact, I read something interesting about Philip II. Philip II was the father of Alexander the Great. And I read something interesting about Philip II. Philip II evidently had an understanding of the spirit of humility and how it was a prerequisite to honor and having great things in your life. And this is what Philip II did. Philip II hired two men to accompany him. And these two men had one assignment each. They accompanied him wherever he went. And these two men had one assignment each. The first man was to say to Philip II every morning before he would go about his duties, he would say to him this one sentence: "Philip, remember that you are but a man." And that was his whole job. Every morning, he just said to Philip II, "Philip, remember that you are but a man." Now, the second man, now I don't know why he couldn't use the same man for both of these jobs, but the second man, his assignment was every night before Philip II would retire to his quarters, he would ask Philip this question: "Philip, have you remembered that you are but a man?" What a job. That was their whole assignment. One man would say to Philip every morning, "Philip, remember, you are but a man." The second man, his assignment before Philip would retire, he would just ask him that one question: "Philip, did you remember that you are but a man?" Now, I don't know why he couldn't use the same man for both of them. It seemed like he could have used the same man for, but he had a, I guess the first man was off work by the time Philip got ready to go to bed. So two different shifts, and you know, he didn't want to get into overtime and all of that. So I guess it was cheaper for him to just hire two part-timers there. He didn't have to worry about insurance benefits and all of that. That's interesting. But Philip II had evidently some understanding of the power of humility in a life and staying grounded. And remember that, you know, humility is simply knowing how great God is. It's knowing how great God is. Knowing how insignificant and how unimportant we are. And then pondering the fact that he loves us anyway and how valuable we become because of him. That's what humility is. Knowing how great God is. Knowing how great and awesome. And if you ever really want to get a better feel for that, go outside sometime and just look at nature. Go out and look at the sun, look at the clouds, look at the stars at night. Go stand in front of the ocean. Look at God's creation, and you'll begin to get a feeling of how great God is. Study the planets. Study science a little bit to find out how many galaxies and universes and how many planets and the size of those and the just the magnanimity of space and time and creation. And when you begin to get a picture of that, you'll begin to realize how significant we really are in the grand scheme of things. Somebody emailed me a schematic of the planetary stars, and it showed, I had always thought that the sun was, you know, the big fish in existence, because we had always seen the models of how small the earth looked compared, you know, next to the sun. But somebody sent me an email and it showed a planet next to the sun, and it made the sun look like a pebble. I said, what? I always thought the sun was the biggest thing out there. But, you know, they said, no, this is in some other galaxies. In other galaxies, there are some planets that make the sun look like a pebble. And I began to say, my God, how big is God? How, you know, and when you start just getting the idea how big God is, you'll realize how small and insignificant we really are. Folks, we're like an ant on a grain of rice. When you look at us in the grand scheme of creation, we're like an ant on a grain of rice. But yet, so we realize how, so humility is realizing how great God is, how little and small and insignificant we are, and yet pondering the fact that he loves us and how valuable that makes us. Man, that'll keep you humble. That'll keep you humble. That'll keep you humble. That'll keep you humble just to have that thought that I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing, that I'm just an ant on a grain of rice. Don't forget that image, an ant on a grain of rice. I'm an ant on a grain of rice, yet he loves me. Yet he loves me. Yet he's planned my life out for me. Yet he fills his thoughts with me. Yet he's in love with me. Yet he came down and to die for me and to live for me. He shows me his love every day. Yet he thinks about me. His thoughts toward me are countless. They can't even be numbered. He's in love with me. He's planned my life, my future, and he's invited me to be a part of his family. When you think about how great he is, how little we are, and yet the fact that he loves us and how valuable that makes us become, oh, you can't help but to be humble. You can't help but to walk in humility. So humility is realizing how, somebody put it this way, humility is realizing how great God is, how little we are, and having sense enough to recognize the difference. How great God is, how little we are, and having sense enough to recognize the difference. Humility, I like this definition. Humility is having a consciousness of your own defects. Humility is having a consciousness of your own defects. Sometimes we can quickly and easily see what's wrong with everybody else, but we don't really see what's wrong with us. And so we're quick to judge, criticize, condemn those who have fallen into sin, or who have, you know, just really gotten their lives into a mess. We're sort of quick to be condescending, looking down on them. And, you know, and we do it because we look at ourselves and say, you know, I would never do that. I would never let that happen. And we do it. There's something in pride there that causes us to be quick to judge and harsh and fault-finding and criticizing and condemning to others. And we do it with the mentality that this would never happen to me, that I could never, you know, this, I could never do this. But I want you to know that God sometimes will have to allow you to be broken. He will sometimes have to allow you to be broken so that he can bring you into a place of humility. There are two ways to be humble. Number one, you can fall on the rock of Christ and break yourself. Or number two, the rock of Christ can fall on you and break you. Those are the two ways to become humble. I would much rather prefer to fall on the rock of Christ and break myself than to have that rock. But God will humble us one way or another. And there's so much There's so much in God's word about it. But we have to be so careful when we criticize, judge, and condemn others. I won't take time to go through, but I give you this last statement by D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was in Chicago with a gentleman walking through the streets of Chicago, and he saw a drunkard, laying in a doorway. And D.L. Moody pointed him out to his associate, and he said, "Except for the grace of God, there go I." He realized that he was no better than that drunk in the doorway. It was only the grace of God that had kept him from being in the same situation. And folks, we have to learn to say that in our lives. Except for the grace of God. When you see people who have fallen, people who have been hurt, people who have been bruised and battered, instead of being critical and judging and condemning, we need to have the attitude D.L. Moody had. Except for the grace of God, there go I. Developing a spirit of humility. Those of you who are watching, I'd like for you to go to airjesus.com. You can listen to this message, message number 7462, in its entirety. You can also email it to a friend absolutely free of charge. Thank you so much for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because, brother, you need the word.